Hi, welcome to Ryan Talks Tax, a podcast to keep you up to date on the latest developments in Canadian tax and government funding. I'm your host, Jim Day. In our last episode, before we take a short hiatus, we've got a very interesting and trending topic. Artificial intelligence continues to have a dramatic impact on many industries, and tax is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about how artificial intelligence, or AI, can impact a scientific research and experimental development tax credit claim, both now and in the future. We're joined by David Douglas, principal and leader of Ryan Shred Practice. Welcome back to the podcast, David.
Hey, Jim. Very good to be here again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. And we also have two directors and resident AI experts from your team, Mike Yannone from our Mississauga office and Jacques-André Boulay from our Montreal office. Hi, Mike. Salut, Jacques-André. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, before we start talking about, you know, the future of AI and its potential impact on Shred, let's make sure the listeners all know what we're talking about. David, can you maybe remind us how the Shred tax credit program works?
Sure. Well, as you know, Shred is the acronym for Scientific Research and Experimental Development. It's the largest innovation support program in the country. $3.5 billion a year federally, and about 17,000 claims filed. So it really is the most broad-based innovation support program in the country, administered by the CRA. So although it's an incentive program, it is available to everybody if you meet the criteria, and it is administered by the CRA. It is a tax credit program that either reduces your taxes payable as a corporation or is refundable if you meet the criteria as a Canadian controlled private corporation. So usually your smaller tech startups, let's say, would be available for that. But this program is available for companies that are experimenting, developing new products, processes, improving new products and processes. You don't have to be doing anything that is earth-shattering or paradigm shifting. It just incremental improvements are equally as valid for this program as going to the moon. So it really is the most accessible and broad-based program to support those companies that are constantly learning from the development of their technology and pushing their knowledge bases and capabilities forward in the technological sphere. So it's still an exciting program that's been around since the early 1980s, and really designed to push corporate R&D forward, and has done so for close to 40 years now. In terms of the software space, and we're talking about AI in particular today, but that represents now more than half of the program. So if you look at the claims filed nationally, about half of the claims filed are in the software, are by software and IT companies. What's interesting is that over 60% of the actual projects being filed are in the IT and software space. So what that tells you is that, you know, manufacturers, biotech, mining, engineering, all of these firms are incorporating software into their processes and into their existing technologies and integrating. And that's the exciting part, that it's really no longer an IT a thing that sits over here in this department. It's integrated into all aspects of corporate life. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is how specifically the AI realm can be eligible for either on its own or in support of work that's going on in the business. So really exciting to dig in with two really smart and capable experts in this field.
Thanks, David. That's a great summary. And I'm glad you mentioned the part about, not strictly being related to technology companies, because the Shred claims we're going to talk about today aren't limited to IT companies, are they?
Oh, not at all. And you know, we're seeing so much of it in every, like certainly in manufacturing with robotics and integrated IT systems that are creating data, which then helps to feed the loop back and improve processes and improve design and improve all aspects of the functionality in a manufacturing environment. In pharma and biotech, we're seeing the data being used with AI overlays that really are accelerating to an amazing degree what the scientists are able to learn about the application of the either pharmaceutical or the biotech instrument that they're looking at. So in all areas, this data is being used analytically with AI overlays to help in any area of technology virtually.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the impact of AI on SHRED. And when we think about that, I mean, obviously AI is already starting to have a dramatic impact on many industries. But in terms of its impact on SHRED, are you talking about using AI to help identify and prepare SHRED claims? Or is it more the ability for organizations that are undertaking AI-related work to make a SHRED claim in relation to those activities? Or is it both?
Yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, I can take that one. So, I mean, lots of SHRED practitioners are looking at leveraging AI in various ways to help streamline their processes, but that's not really what we wanted to talk about. I was hoping to provide some clarification to our listeners about kind of what types of AI work could qualify or be included in SHRED claims. With the mainstream kind of accessibility to excellent AI technologies, more businesses are looking to use it in various aspects of running their business. And we get asked all the time, does this sort of work qualify for SHRED? David touched upon it. I mean, there's many different ways it can be applied in various types of businesses and industries. And as I mentioned, we get asked all the time how this work would qualify, if it qualifies, what sort of return or advantage they would get from claiming the work. And we're hoping to address some of those questions here.
Yeah, you know, when I hear the term AI, I always think of cutting edge technology. Like that seems to be the latest and greatest advancement. Does that mean all AI work by default will qualify for SHRED?
Oh, true. I mean, there's a lot of impressive things happening right now in AI, but I mean, just like any computer science subfield, it's not all AI work which qualifies for the SHRED tax credit.
Well, it's interesting. It's exploded with large language models and ChatGPT and all the attention that's been in respect of AI in the last year, only the last year, really. ChatGPT has only been out just over a year now. So all this excitement is really accelerating. But when we talk about these tools have been around for 20 years. So, in various applications. So there are tools that are available that can be seen as plug and play. So, you know, not everything is going to qualify if you just plug in this tool and it works. That's not the nature of the program. You have to push the envelope, create new knowledge. And obviously that's just a huge field right now in AI, but it's not necessarily that follows that every single project in AI qualifies. But it's exciting because I mentioned that, you know, you plug it in and it works. Well, that just never happens.
That's the theory, right? Yeah, right. It never happens. Yeah. I think it's a great point there.
And engineers, wish it were that simple, but it's not quite like that.
Yeah, it's a great point. It is at the very cutting edge, but there are some advancements that are so far along that if you're just using what's already been done, yeah, you know, then it doesn't qualify. I guess that brings me to the next question. Like, how does a taxpayer distinguish between eligible AI work and those projects that, even though they involve AI, they don't qualify for a SHRED claim?
Well, I mean, to be qualified, AI work must meet the same criteria as any other type of works, meaning First, it should be conducted for the purposes of achieving technological advancement. And two, it must be a systematic investigation or search that is conducted by means of experiment. This is the two core constraints we need to satisfy. So I'm not sure if I need to explain the concept of technological advancement in the case of this podcast, but...
It might be...
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, to just touch on in a moment, but it's certainly that technological advancement and that uncertainty leading to experimentation, which is the guts of the SHRED program. So, you know, Mike, you may want to dive into that a little bit further too, because ability to articulate that technological uncertainty in the context of using AI tools is very good.
Yeah, and I'll do that. But one of the points you raised, Jim, that I wanted to touch on was, how do we get our taxpayers knowledgeable enough to identify whether this work would qualify or not? I'd say they don't have to. That's why they reach out to people like us to get an opinion and help assess whether the work would qualify. What we're hoping to provide to them is enough knowledge to say, well, this might qualify for SHRED. and that's really all we need. So if they can identify these few things that might indicate SHRED's taking place, then they can talk to someone like us who can collect the details to determine whether it makes sense to proceed with the claim or not. In terms of AI specifically, as Jacques-André and David mentioned, I mean, the first hurdle is whether there's a technological uncertainty. AI is in some ways cutting edge, but as David mentioned, it has been around a long time. There are known approaches and best practices related to AI technology, or at least some of it that's out there and available. If something is play, or even if it's not plug and play, if there's kind of a known approach in how to design it, roll it out, implement it, and it works as expected, that's not typically SHRED.
Yeah, the test is whether something, that approach is available in the public domain. So if you have a problem with your programming that you're trying to resolve, and you can go to an online forum and adopt that approach, and then problem solved, then that's not SHRED. But again, you know, every situation tends to be different, and so it doesn't tend to be that easy. So that
exactly
forces you into experimental mode, which then is the guts of a SHRED claim.
Exactly. And what we typically see with some of our SHRED claims for AI type work is there's often known models or approaches, but they're designed for a specific use case or scenario. Yeah. And you're trying to see if you can replicate the results of that in a slightly different scenario. And that's a very common example we run into that would likely qualify for SHRED, because you're taking an existing approach and seeing if you can apply it to a different scenario, which can introduce that technological uncertainty and then drive the systematic investigation and experimentation.
Or maybe, and I think we see this a lot too, Mike, is you know, the common approach runs into performance problems. Like, but you know, it's not meant to, that amount of volume of data or that amount of analytics is just not going to work on this particular system.
Yep. Yeah. Often, similar example where there's that common or known approach, but it's designed for small data or a very specific use case, and you need it to perform at scale or ingest significantly more data. And often that's where the performance or even sometimes accuracy challenges are introduced that lead to the experimentation once again.
Well said, Mike and David. And I guess it's a good time to mention that if somebody wants more information on the SHRED eligibility criteria, we have covered it in previous podcast episodes. You can check out our Ryan Talks Tax podcast archive, which is on our website at ryan.com/Canada. You already mentioned one example, Mike. Can you maybe give me a couple more examples of where the AI work integrated into a project would qualify as a potential SHRED claim?
Yeah, definitely. So kind of a rule of thumb that we like to apply is, are you using the technology or doing something to the technology? And if you're using it for its intended purpose and it performs as expected, that's not Shred. Even if it's a new concept, kind of cutting edge sort of technology, if it's all working as expected, that there's no experimentation there. It's where it goes beyond that. Maybe, oh, I thought this would work, but you encounter some limitation. And as I mentioned a few earlier, like performance, capability, scalability, those are common limitations that we run into. That's where often the non-qualified work stops and you encounter work that could lead to Shred.
Okay, how about you, Jacques-André? Any examples come to mind?
I mean, I have a somewhat generic example. For example, if you are conducting an experimentation to develop a new model, which is designed for a specialized task and based on a novel algorithm or architecture, and at the end, with this whole solution, there are significant uncertainties about the feasibility of achieving sufficient performance, it could be eligible. At the end, it's really a matter of proposing a somewhat novel approach at the technological level and to be confronted with the severe technological uncertainties. This is the two core rules from my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that helps clarify things.
It's kind of the optimal example, I mean, because it's not quite precise. It's just focused on the developing a new deep learning model, which is really, it's novel, it's new. But at the end, it's a good inspiration, I guess, for people to evaluate if their project might be eligible.
Would you have an example or two of something that might not qualify for the tax credit, even though AI was involved?
Mike mentioned some of them before. Some of them might be eligible if they were part of a bigger project, but sometimes it's just a company will just focus on one iteration or two or three simple iteration. But for example, if you're just testing via trial and error existing pre-trained model to perform a given task, this is not Shred. If you're just using existing pre-trained model, if you try to integrate a well-known probabilistic algorithm within your own software application, it might not be eligible, except maybe if you have some kind of a architectural challenge for the integration. But I mean, from the AI perspective, it's not eligible because it's a trivial process. The process of training and optimizing a well-known model for your type of data, the same thing here, this is not eligible. There's a lot of example. You could say also all the maintenance and continuous improvement iteration that you need to do after a model and system is online, this is not eligible. Except maybe if you discover a new kind of significant drawbacks, which force you to modify your whole approach, your solution. But typical standard maintenance and improvement iteration are generally not eligible. So,
and you touched on a good point there, Jacques-André, and I think it's a common misconception with some companies doing AI projects, and it's they feel that because they're taking an existing model and there's iterations around the configuration or the training, that might be Shred, and it's not enough on its own. Just tweaking the configuration, maybe changing the data it's being trained with, that's still kind of following normal best practices and how the technology is supposed to work. So it wouldn't typically be Shred on its own. There has to be another element where you're maybe trying to improve the AI model in some way, not just iterations where you're changing to see if it impacts the accuracy. And that's a common misconception, I think, some of the companies I've dealt with have. Because I don't want to call it a gray area, but when you look at the Shred definition of what work qualifies, we often look at iterations, improving accuracy, performance, and it kind of checks those boxes, but there's not really a technological uncertainty at the start. So that's the problem with that.
Yeah, heavy lifting in terms of development doesn't always automatically equate to Shred because of that technological uncertainty. Things can be complex and take a lot of work, but they don't necessarily, if you know how to get from A to B, even if it's a lot of work, it's not Shred. On the other hand, those pain points where you change direction, as Andre said, that's where that with iterations and an investigation and experimentation into how to, how do we change direction here, that's where the guts of Shred is.
So there are situations where AI is being used in a project, but nonetheless, it's not going to qualify as a Shred expenditure. Mike, I think you touched on it earlier that even though the AI work might not be eligible on its own, potentially it could be part of a larger project that might be eligible for a Shred claim. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a good point to raise. I mean, we see that a lot where there's a large technology project of some sort taking place, and AI is one small component. Often, some of the other components may be Shred eligible activities, but the AI piece is more routine, or may not qualify on its own. And that's where we come into the concept of direct support activities, which can be included in the Shred claim, where the AI activities may be more routine or non-experimental, but are required for other work that is Shred eligible. An example I have seen is where AI technologies may be used to generate data that is being fed into a system for testing purposes. And that's one of many possible scenarios, but you can use kind of screen scraping and AI technology or OCR technology to generate the data that is then used for testing. And that could be used to create much more test data than manually. Jacques-André, do you have any other scenarios?
Mine was quite similar to you. I was thinking about maybe using a chatbot like ChatGPT to generate data to feed automated tests for qualified work. I mean, as a way to really to generate a massive volume of testing data.
Are there many platforms out there like ChatGPT and those kinds of platforms that are really leading the way in terms of Shred-related AI claims? Are you seeing a common platform generating or leading to a lot of these claims?
Personally, recently, I did not see a lot of ChatGPT base the model they use under it. I did not see a lot of claim based on that. I've seen a lot of projects building their solution on top of a framework like TensorFlow or maybe PyTorch library, for example. I saw also the use of, the big platform from Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and their AI services. In terms of ChatGPT, it's kind of new, but I believe we will see a lot of new projects in the coming year based on that.
How about you, Mike?
Just to add to that, I would agree. I mean, we're not seeing just one technology for all AI claims. There's a ton out there. Traditionally, a lot of the AI work I've seen has been more Python based and some of the libraries available for Python, but it's definitely not limited to that. And I think with more and more AI technologies hitting the market, like some of the large language models and generative AI, we'll just start seeing more and more technologies in the mix.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, it's safe to say as we move forward that you're going to see AI integrated into Shred claims more and more. Is that fair to say?
All sorts of technologies, I think, are going to adopt some form. And then, like Mike was saying, more and more tools are coming to market, and those getting integrated with other technologies is where the sweet spot for Shred, because a lot of that requires significant experimentation, changes of direction, and uncertainties with respect to how it's going to work. So that's where we can really help companies to formulate the largest possible amount of Shred claim that is within the law.
So given all those possibilities out there, and I'll ask this question to all three of you, what's your best advice on when it makes sense to really pursue a Shred claim for an AI-related project?
I mean, first of all, we must say it's really not a trivial task to evaluate if a project is eligible or not. But I mean, there's some indicators that can be that can help. Generally, there's a good chance that our project might be eligible when we are faced with situation where, I mean, I think David talked about it before, but when we are faced with a situation where existing technologies, our own knowledge base or public domain knowledge are not sufficient or suboptimal to achieve our goals. So this is one of a good indicator that we might be it might be a good idea maybe to contact a consultant to help us in the process.
That sounds like good advice. Mike, anything to add there?
Yeah, just, I'd like to add that really if, I mean, we spent a bit of time talking about what type of AI projects don't qualify, but in practice, a lot of the clients I've worked with that do AI projects, there usually is some element of it that does qualify for SHRED. So I'd say in general, most AI projects would be worth at least investigating further to see if there is SHRED eligibility. It may not qualify, as we discussed, that is possible, but we are still seeing a lot more qualify than not qualify. So it's worth an investigation at this point until the technology is much more mature and it's old hat and there really is no experimentation.
David, any thoughts on best practices for when it's time to investigate a SHRED claim?
Well, like Mike said, you know, we did spend some time on what's not eligible, and that was rather negative, but to sort of help interpret that line of eligible versus ineligible projects. But that is that is problematic. It's very, our experience is that most people go through that experimental road. Most companies do have blockages or constraints that restrict the ability to use those tools in line with their objectives, and are forced to experiment. And so experimentation and those pain points are the guts of the program. So you know, if that's the profile and what you're doing within your organization and you're experiencing those pain points, it's absolutely worth a quick discussion. We can get to the bottom of whether there's SHRED there in a very short conversation. You know, once we find that nugget of uncertainty to hang our hats on, we can usually do a pretty good job of getting a well-articulated and shaped claim for our clients. So I encourage you to reach out, have that conversation with us, and we'd be happy to help you explore the program in line with the law. We don't file claims we don't believe in, and we know that our clients don't want that trouble. It's a waste of everybody's time, but in this space, there is a lot of eligible work that that qualifies, and so we encourage you to reach out and have that exploratory call.
That sounds like sage advice. I did want to ask about the potential impact of outsourcing. You know, if maybe you send out the AI piece of a project to somebody else, does that, you know, preclude it from qualifying as part of SHRED?
No. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jacques-André.
Yeah, it's possible to claim outsourcers' work in Canada, but I mean, it's important to ensure that the subcontractor does not plan to claim the work on their end. I mean, the recipient of the credits can usually be established in the subcontracting agreement, but there's always a way to optimize that.
The nuance there is that two Canadian companies cannot claim for the same work. So if you've got a Canadian performer for the work and the payer for the work, they both can't claim that credit. And there are rules set up such as, you know, who's controlling the work, who gets to keep the IP, who's taking the financial risk on it. Those are the factors that determine who gets to claim them. But that, again, is a fairly challenging area, and we help to give our clients the best practices in setting up those agreements to be able to make it clear to CRA who should be claiming the credit. But if you've got a payer from outside of the country, doesn't matter. You're able to claim the credit here in Canada. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good to know. And just as a reminder for everyone, what's the value, potential value of a SR&ED tax credit claim?
Yeah, so the basic tax credit federally is 15%. That's for every company. But if you're a Canadian-controlled private corporation and you're on the smaller side and you have less than $50 million of taxable capital, that's just a fancy word for retained earnings, share capital, and any long-term debt, which most early-stage companies don't have anywhere near that level. So in that case, the tax credit goes to 35% and is refundable. And what refundable means is that you've got the ability to get that in cash back, regardless of the fact of you paying corporate taxes within the corporation. Again, a lot of early stage companies are not at a taxable income stage and therefore would be able to take advantage of that credit. But on top of that 35%, we get provincial tax credits that stack on top of that. And those range anywhere from 3.5% in Ontario to 30% in Quebec. And similarly, Atlantic provinces have very strong credits. So in every province, except for PEI, but all the rest of the provinces have a tax credit that stacks on top of the federal one. So the rate could be anywhere from 42% of the expenditure base right up to 65% of the expenditure base, which is ranks very, very highly globally in the OECD programs. And virtually there's about 72 countries now that have a similar tax credit program. And so Canada's ranks very, very highly, especially for CCPCs that are at that stage and for refundable credits. So that's quite exciting for the ecosystem in Canada for developing new technology.
Yeah, they sound like significant tax credits, definitely worth pursuing. What if an organization, finds out it doesn't qualify for SR&ED? Are they out of luck? Like, is that the end of the story or are there other options?
Well, at that stage, I would do this anyway, there are grants and incentives out there that are what we call direct funding opportunities. So grants, low interest loans, vouchers. There are literally there's about 1,000 programs in Canada that companies can take advantage of this. And the sort of what you're looking for are buckets of funding that are available tend to be on the hiring and training. So are you hiring, particularly in STEM fields? And so if we're in a technology company, you're often hiring new engineers and some of those engineers may be under 30. That's a category that's well funded for hiring credits. Am I hiring people with postgrad degrees that are working on a PhD with the university on a certain type of project? Those are very fundable grant opportunities for companies. Am I investing in capital? Capital investment has a number of grant programs associated with it. Am I trying to market myself globally? Marketing myself globally gives opportunities for federal grant subsidies for going to or to, developing digital media marketing strategies, going to trade shows. Those are the types of things that are well funded. And lastly, if I'm doing something in the green sustainability field, all sorts of opportunities there for grant funding and for further tax credits as well. So those are some avenues that you can explore independent of the SHRED program, but also with the SHRED program.
Yeah. You just said also with the SHRED program, so this is not a either or situation, is it? A taxpayer that's eligible for SHRED could potentially still take advantage of some of these government incentives.
Yeah, so there are opportunities where you can get a grant. So let's say IRAP is funding the same project that you're claiming SHRED on. Well, that IRAP funding would have to be applied against your expenditure base for your SHRED tax credit. But IRAP is typically not going to fund 100% of those salaries. And so there's still an opportunity to claim what's left. And there's an notional overhead amount that you get on your salaries in the SHRED program that may not be covered by IRAP. And so you get that on top of it. So it's always best to do the math and claim both of them together. That's the way you maximize the total funding on a project.
To optimize at the end.
That's right.
That's great information. Anything to add there, Mike or Jacques-André?
No, I think David summarized it great. I mean, there's so many different grants and incentives out there that it's hard to stay up to date with what currently applies. And I mean, it's we have the resources available to know where the current trends are and what areas. And David kind of gave an overview of the main categories, and those seem to be the common themes. But yeah, it's definitely worth looking into both.
Need an AI engine to determine available for funding this week, and they keep track of it all. So we'll take that as an internal project for ourselves to make sure that we're right up to date with all that information.
We have a really, really good team, which is specialized in that kind of problematic, you could say.
Absolutely.
I guess
that gets back to my previous question. Are we going to use AI to help process SHRED claims related to AI? And probably the answer is yes. Great insights, Mike and Jacques-André and David. Thank you for taking the time today to share them with us.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah,
now, if one of the listeners has a question about SHRED in general, or specifically, how an AI project may or may not qualify for SHRED, what's the best way for them to contact your team?
Well, we will leave we'll leave all of our contact information at the bottom of this, and we can be reached out by email or by phone at any time.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
And I should mention as a final note that this podcast episode was done entirely without the use of any AI. That concludes this episode of Ryan Talks Tax. Please let us know what you think about the podcast. You can send your questions, comments, or suggestions to events@ryan.com. Thanks for listening.